Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Erie Niagara School Superintendents Association's podcast, Achieving Joy and Mastery in Public Schools. I am your host, Brian Graham, superintendent of the Grand Island Central School District. We are really excited that you're listening today. This podcast is designed to celebrate all that is good in public education around Western New York. We will be featuring programs and innovative ideas that inspire and influence our students, faculty, staff, and community in new and exciting ways. So, everybody, let's get started. Today on our podcast, we have Dr. Janelle Morris, the superintendent of the Olean City School District. Janelle is in her second year as superintendent and previous to this served as the deputy superintendent in the Rochester City School District. Janelle has spent more than 30 years in urban education, dedicating her life to ensuring each child graduates from high school ready for college and future careers. Janelle also served as an educator and administrator in the Buffalo Public Schools for 30-plus years. She was the Chief Accountability Officer, Chief Information Officer for that district, where she was responsible for accountability, assessment, research, and evaluation of system-wide goals and targets. Furthermore, Janelle served as Assistant Superintendent of Shared Accountability, Director of Data Analysis, Supervisor of Data Analysis, Principal, and Assistant Principal. She began her career as a science teacher for advanced placement in biology in the Buffalo Public Schools. There are over 1,800 students served in four different schools in Olean. Janelle, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be on the podcast today. Thank you.
You're very, very welcome. So I'm excited to be here in Olean. Two brothers graduated from St. Bonaventure University, so we spent a lot of time coming down and visiting them and enjoying St. Bonaventure. My brother met his wife, so she's a graduate of St. Bonaventure, and my nephew graduated from St. Bonaventure. So we've been down here in Olean a lot. It's a beautiful city.
It is. It's really nice here, and a lot of times I'll tell people where I am working right now, and they may not know necessarily where Olean is, but I'll say two things. I'll say either Ellicottville, and they're like, ooh, I know where that is.
That's right.
Or most importantly, I'll say St. Bonaventure, and they're like, oh my gosh, I know where that is. And I've been overseas and had the very same reaction from people like, I don't know where Olean is. St. Bonaventure?
St. Bonaventure.
Yeah.
Well, and nationally, they're known, right? They compete very well in basketball in particular. Mm-hmm. Often when I see them on TV, I'll take a quick snapshot and send it to my brothers and my nephew, and and they're always watching and rooting them on. So there's a real strong connection this community. And also, it's just so quaint. You know, I went through the downtown area, beautiful stores, beautiful shops.
Yeah. I have a lovely little apartment that's right there in the middle of the school.
Okay.
I mean, of the city. And it's just so beautiful, especially at the holiday season. If you ever come down the street, it's like something out of a Hallmark card. It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And in the summer, they have a farmer's market out there, and everybody's so friendly, and the kids are amazing. And it's just a wonderful community to be a part of.
Yeah. And so this is your second year. And as you know, this podcast is called it's called Achieving Joy and Mastery in Public Schools. And I'm wondering if you'd be so kind as to share what is bringing you joy this year as a superintendent.
Well, I'd say this year, it's been a very interesting, tough year. But in terms of what's been able to bring us or me joy as a role of the superintendent this year is being able to make it through the second year.
Yes.
And being able to demonstrate linkages to the hard work we put into the foundation of building our strategic plan and starting to see those early metrics emerged that we're making progress in those areas that were important to us as a community, important to us as a school district, important to families and students. So that's exciting.
Yeah. Any time that you can start to see growth in student achievement is a time for joy and celebration for sure. Now, you guys are the Huskies, right?
We are the Huskies.
I love it. Yeah.
Once you're on that sled, we rarely let you off. You are a Husky. You're always a Husky.
Yeah, that is great. So there's a lot of Husky spirit.
Yes.
And
now, this building is iconic. The high school building, like everyone can refer to, and it just brings that visceral pride out in many people who have been in this region to be a Husky and be associated with this building. There's a lot of ceremony. There's a lot of history, a lot of tradition that's associated with this building.
Yeah. And as I got a chance to drive around, I was not quite sure where your office was. So I looped around the high school here and noticed that this building was built, I think, in the 1800s.
Yes, it was. Wow. Yeah.
And so I'm sure throughout the building, you probably have, some hardwood floors or, beautiful, iconic architecture and interior design, which is unique to schools built in the late 1800s, right?
Right. I think a lot of the wooden floors are gone now.
Okay.
We still have a lot of historical presence from that 1800 build. So if you go in the auditorium, for example, we just recently did a renovation, but there are some really nice historical preservation of some of the things that were original to the auditorium.
Okay.
So that's a really cool linkage to the past, even as we've modernized some of the things in that space. And as you walk around, for example, the doors as you come in, those are original.
Right.
So
we've
had to make upgrades to the glass and things, but the layout is the same, and it's just, once you walk in those doors, it just gives you such a sense of pride and presence.
Yeah, I love that. That is so great. So I know we wanted today to talk about, in your second year, the work that you've been doing to create a strategic plan.
Yes.
And I'm just wondering if you could just share with our listeners, how that's going, some of the work you did last year and as you progress this year. What is the vision? How is it starting to come together, I guess I should say?
Okay, well, I love talking about our strategic plan because it's something that brings, I think, our district and our team and our board definitely a lot of pride. So when I first came on 2 years ago, the first thing the board said was, we'd love to have a strategic plan to help set the direction and the tone for the entire district. And so we got down to the process of finding a consultant. We worked with Mike Ford, and he came in.
Very nice.
And helped our team come together and talk about what our vision was for our school district and how that related to the region, and just captured a lot of that. And we had so much authentic participation, either by people who dedicated a lot of time to come in here and speak with us about our visions, our shared vision for the district, or they participated via surveys. I mean, we got a lot of feedback.
Yeah, that's really great. Touch base with the entire school community, right, to build that common understanding.
Right. And so as a result of that, we were able to identify our strategic plan priorities, and we have 5 of them. And they are working on maximizing success for all, looking at all of our students and maximizing their opportunities and their achievement in academics, creating and supporting a positive culture. So that's something that was definitely forefront in our community's feedback, that they wanted a positive culture. Our staff shared that that perspective as well. We also wanted to focus on, how can we make sure that we're providing opportunities across the range for all of our students? So that related to the goal of progressive and enriching student learning for all. And then we also wanted to make sure that we were using actual data to make our decisions and teaching our staff how to do that. And so we focused on a goal in data-driven decision making. And then finally, none of this work means anything if we're not engaging with our families and our communities. So we had a goal that was isolated to really attend to how do we connect with our community and our parents and our school community and make sure that we're all hearing the same positive message.
Yeah. I think that's really well done. And you have obviously in the bio that I shared with our listeners, you have a strong background in understanding data and how to help others understand it for the betterment of students.
Yeah. So this is the part of the job I love. So, you know, I've just been in here just going through spreadsheets and PowerPoints and analyzing this and analyzing that. And people are like, what are you doing? And I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm just going through data. This is great.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited. Next week, we're going to share our update annually as far as what we've done. We've done a lot of work this first year. So we were shared when I was in Buffalo. I worked under Dr. Cash, and he shared with us a systems thinking pyramid. And that has always resonated with me in terms of how do you approach things like a strategic plan and thinking about it systematically. And the first thing you have to do is analyze what you have and refine that and doing that groundwork to make sure that you have the best, whether it's program, curriculum, professional development, that you have the best going forward. So the first year to help support our Maximize for Success for All goal, we had to analyze all of our curriculum
right. That
we had for our students.
K-12.
Well, we're focusing on K-8 right now.
Got it.
Yeah. So the elementary, middle, we had to focus on that first because we really realized that congruence between that curriculum and that was where our data was showing that we really needed the most attention, that we needed to really focus on that. So I am so proud of our team this year, led by Jen Kless, who's our curriculum and instruction director.
Very nice.
They did an analysis of our ELA programs and our ELA curriculum, and they were able to identify a brand new curriculum for our district.
Okay, very good.
So we're very excited to be able to identify that, and we're going to be implementing that going forward. And then they're going to apply that same lens and that same analysis to our math. And then we will have our elementary intermediate curriculum set.
Nice.
And that's going to allow us to make sure that there's congruency between our elementary, middle, and our secondary curriculum. So we're very excited, as I said, using that systems perspective, making sure that our foundations are correct before we move forward. I think that the work that we did this year is super important, and it really paid off on the benefit for our kids. We also did a similar approach with our special education programs.
Okay.
So we had these two parallel analyses going on. And special education, we had a task force. It was community-based, so not just our staff, but mm-hmm. we brought people who were involved with special education programming and students, and we just said, okay, we recognize that we can support learning for all. Let's talk about what we perceive as our strengths and our weaknesses in these programs, and we've come up with a 5-year special education program
plan
a result, and it's really significant in that there's some changes that have been desired, but we didn't quite know how to do it. But now that we have this plan, we can now plan for it going forward so that it's sustained.
Yeah, I think that's great. And I would also add that I bet that some of these conversations, you know, can be deep and thoughtful and yes. require people to be reflective right. And then to, you know, see where you've been and where you can go. And I'm sure that facilitation of a plan like that can be really important for future success for kids who right now, you know, qualify for special education services.
Right. And so I want to just definitely give a shout out to Marcy Johnson, who okay. was our director of special education, and she led that work.
Nice.
So we had some really good work led by our directors this year,
right.
and they were able to lead these two teams to do that.
Yeah.
Just amazing work.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. And important, right, when you talk about maximizing success for all and offering equitable opportunities, you know, there's a lot of conversation and a lot of deep understanding that needs to occur, and it sounds like you guys did a fantastic job with that. I know that you mentioned creating and supporting a positive culture. So,
correct.
You know, what does that look like? What, you know, what are some hopeful ideas that you have connected to that?
Well, we started using a climate survey.
Okay.
Here.
Yeah.
So
great.
We started that last year. We work with evaluative beings, and that information is very impactful in how we can respond and support our students.
Sure.
So I just
want to add that we are using evaluative beings
are
as
you?
Well. Right now in our middle school, grades 6 through 8, obviously, evaluative beings, it's really great that you're using it, too. It gives a lot of important information.
Sure does.
And it could lead to professional development as well. But
correct.
But tell me a little bit about your experience with it.
Yeah, no, we've had a very positive experience with it. It's given us important information to help us support our students. So it's telling us whether our students are feeling connected to our school in terms of individual well-being. It's telling us through the responses whether our students feel connected to our staff, and then we can use that at our buildings to help support our students and our staff and connect those relationships. It's telling us by specific metrics like demographics, such as our students who are with disabilities, are they feeling connected? Are they feeling connected to peers? Are they feeling connected to their staff that are working with them? It's really important that we take this information then and respond to our students. And we've been using this, we're doing it 3 times a year.
Okay.
And that information, once we receive it, it's analyzed at our district level, and then at schools, they use it to support our students and our staff to make sure to connect those relationships.
So if you wouldn't mind sharing the grade level span that evaluative beings is being implemented here. You know,
yeah.
is it 6 through 12?
It's 4 through 12.
Wow, so you're
yeah.
doing elementary students.
Yeah,
wow,
we are.
Very nice.
We are. And they have the ability, if they don't want to
yeah.
participate, to opt out.
Yeah,
but
us too.
We still
yeah.
do get a really impactful number of students
yeah.
and staff who are responding, because we also extend it once a year to our staff.
Ah, very
yeah.
nice. So you
yeah.
have a real comprehensive approach.
We're trying,
yeah.
You know, it's important to get that pulse point on
mm-hmm.
both groups, both
yeah.
our students and our staff. We do our students far more frequently, but we also take a pulse point for our staff as well, because we want to make sure that they too feel like they belong here. This is also a supplement to the belonging work that we're doing in the district.
Love
as
it.
Well.
Love it.
So last year we had the author from the book Belonging Through a Culture of Dignity. We had the author, John Crownapple. He came in and he led many of our teams
nice.
In belonging work. And
so this would be for the adults?
This was
employees.
For the adults
yeah.
to then use in the schools. So each school had a core team
mm-hmm.
that came and worked with John.
Nice.
And then they took
wow.
that work back to the schools.
Yeah.
Just hugely impactful in each one of the schools. And then this year, we've kind of filtered it out to the students as well. So we've had empathy interviews where we've talked to the students with peers to kind of get from them. So what do you feel is making you feel like you belong here? What could we do to change? So it's really just kind of getting that pulse, but also training some of our students to be empathy interviewers and helping to collect that information. Nice. As well. So this is year two. Year three, we're building sustainability so that next year we'll be able to do some of this on our own, where we can have those teams that are working with staff and doing empathy interviews. Right. At the staff level, but also now we have a core group of students who have been working with our peer facilitators so that they too can share that work within our schools.
Wow, Janelle.
Yeah, I'm very excited about this.
I'm gushing here a little bit because that is so, looking at the systems that you're putting in place and the supports might make for a great workshop at the New York State Council of School Superintendents that you could lead in the future.
Yeah.
Someday.
You
have a lot going on here. This is really great.
That's a good idea.
You should do
Thank
it.
You.
I'm just saying.
Okay, well, maybe I will. Okay.
but I think, not only working with evaluative beings and then the author of this impactful book and building what you said were empathy, well, a culture of empathy, but also empathy, you said interviewers.
Yes, right? Yes. And it's really just kind of saying, do you feel like you belong in this community? Mm-hmm. Because we have many words for it, but the core of it all is belonging. Do
yeah.
you feel like you belong in our school? Do you feel like you belong in your classroom? Do you feel like you belong
Love
in
it.
This school community? And that's not just for our students. This is for our families. This is for our staff. This is for our students. We want to make sure that everyone here feels like they belong.
Yeah, it's
and
great. Super
it
smart.
Incorporates those elements of equity that are important, right? This is for all,
mm-hmm.
not just for a subset. So everyone belongs here. So
yeah.
when we're offering field trips, are you looking at through the lens? Does everyone belong on that field trip?
Mm-hmm.
How can we make sure they all belong on
yeah.
that field trip? When we're doing activities after school, before school, can everyone feel like they belong to that?
Mm-hmm.
There might be criteria.
Yeah.
But still,
yeah.
it should be accessible to all
yeah.
because we all belong here.
Yeah, super great, super powerful. And it really makes me think about that power of the belonging, and then hopefully the offshoot of that belonging is student achievement and or
right.
improvement in attendance and
right.
improvement in caring for others in the community,
right.
meaning students caring for students, students caring for teachers, teachers caring for students.
Right.
I think that's great. And I know it's early. It's your second year. Have you noticed any upticks with some of these initiatives? Whether it's maybe an uptick in improvement in attendance, for example, or uptick in improvement in academic achievement, things of that nature.
Because
I would just say, coming off of COVID,
yeah.
every school district
yeah.
is struggling with improving attendance.
Right.
We are in Grand Island. I'm sure you are too.
Yeah.
And this culture of building the belonging will help kids get to school.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I was just curious if you've noticed anything, or is it a little too early in that analysis approach to see what's going
We're
on?
We're struggling with attendance just like everyone else. I know recently there was an article in the New York Times
yeah.
that really just discussed how this is a nationwide phenomenon, and that a lot of people, regardless of the size of district, are struggling with this. And
for sure.
We are having the same issue. I think that the kids who are coming, they know that we care for them. They know that we try to make decisions that are based in student lenses, student focus. But we do have issues with attendance. So I don't know that I could demonstrate that this has been able to impact that metric. But in terms
You're
of the students
the culture.
Who are coming, right, and we're hoping that creates a season of they're having a good sense in school, maybe that can kind of share with their peers.
Exactly.
Why don't you come to
right.
school?
Right.
And that's, once again, you're part of this community. We would love to have you here. Come on back. We're trying to get everybody to be participatory.
Yeah.
In terms of the kids who are coming, we're seeing some increases in some of our benchmark assessments.
Great.
So that's something that's very exciting to see. So we are doing benchmark assessments for our K to 8 students. And we can see that through our benchmark work that we're using now, now that we have a formal benchmark system, we are seeing that there are increases as the year goes along.
Do you mind sharing a little bit more about that?
Are
those district-created benchmarks, or are they supported by the curriculum or the curriculum resources you're purchasing?
So right now they're supported by a curriculum resource. We use STAR assessment.
Oh, yeah, so STAR.
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect.
And just analyzing that data, and more importantly, what are we doing with it, right? So we get our first round of data in the fall, and it's usually lower. But we don't just sit on that, and we don't just say, all right, this is our performance of our students for the rest of the year. We're taking that, and we're sharing that with our teachers and grade levels and discussing that data. And then you can see the uptick in that information as you go forward. So our growth scores for our K-1 students have grown significantly from the fall to our mid-year assessment.
Right.
That's definitely a result of
super
our amazing teachers who are taking these data and then responding to it and helping our students grow so impactfully that it really drives a data point like that.
That's great. And does the STAR program also offer some academic intervention supports within the STAR environment so that a student can log in or in a learning center move forward with some not only taking a benchmark assessment, but does STAR also offer some programming that takes children from where they are and helps them move forward?
There's some tools that, but I think predominantly we're using additional tools are supplementing. So we have interventions. And the good thing about that is we have some differentiated interventions.
That's right.
So we have students who have different needs that we can provide interventions for them to help them grow that are very specific to what their needs are.
Yeah.
So may be a tool, we have others that we're using as well. And you can see that in our data. And I just expect that to be better as we implement our new curriculum and we're able to have that up and running in our classrooms. I just think that this data is going to show some remarkable gains.
Yeah, I love that. And we use iReady, but it's really the same kind of tool that STAR is. So prior to COVID and coming out of Race to the Top and all those initiatives from the state, we saw a drop-off of students and parents allowing students to take state assessments grades 3 through 8.
Yeah.
Now that the state is moving away from attaching those assessment results to teacher evaluations and principal evaluations, I'm wondering if we collectively, you and I, will see an uptick in parents allowing their children to take the state assessments, because that's just another tool like STAR, like iReady. It's another tool in the tool belt to see how connected our students are to learning, right? The New York State Standards and Performance Indicators.
Right.
So I wonder, what we'll see, now that shift has occurred.
I hope we see more participation. It's really important information that we get at the school and district level that helps us support the students better. In Buffalo, we really didn't have the phenomenon of the widespread opt-out.
Right, true.
Lot of students took our assessments anyway.
Yeah.
In spite of that movement, and we had very low opt-out rates.
Right.
But in spite of that, I understand that parents and educators were concerned about how these data were being used, other than being providing that assessment information that then educators could use to support them.
Yeah.
So now that we have removed that, I hope that does allow for a shift to continue to get more and more students to be able to participate and have more of that information flowing to our teachers so that we can support them in their next school year.
Yeah, I agree too. So clearly, you know, this work and enriching learning for students is comprehensive, right?
Yes.
You know, so is there anything that you may see in the future from that goal or currently that is forward thinking, maybe a focus on STEM or STEAM or, you know, the fine arts or whatever? Are you hoping that there will be some deliverables off of that goal?
I think we're focusing in two different areas.
Okay.
For that forward thinking approach. And one is providing as many of the options of pathways for our students here as we can. So right now, I think we have four of the pathways established.
Okay.
Here, and we're trying to apply for another one in arts.
Oh, very
so that
good.
Way we
yeah.
will allow our students yeah. to be able to have access to another pathway
right.
that might feed their interests.
And these pathways are leading to graduation,
diploma, right?
Right, and,
right?
And to have four is wonderful. So
yeah.
Do you mind sharing?
We have the humanities right now. We've got CTE. We have the seal of civic.
Yes,
and,
readiness.
And,
yeah,
readiness. We have. Oh,
do you have
goodness.
Like an academy?
The CDOS.
Oh yeah, CDOS of
yes.
course. Right.
So we've got those four. We are applying for arts now, so that'll be fifth.
Okay, that's exciting.
Yeah, yeah. So we're excited on trying to continue to expand that for our students and making sure that they have different credential options. We're building those pathways early so that by ninth grade they can make those decisions so they know what classes they'll be able to take. Our arts department was really excited to support this initiative, so they've come up
of course,
with
right.
a lot of different courses
yeah.
that they're going to be able to offer to our students. So that's been fantastic. We're trying to make sure that we increase our students who are able to do our advanced courses and our advanced coursework with regional partnerships.
Excellent.
With
right.
different universities and colleges
mm-hmm.
in the area. Our students can take so many credits at JCC, which is right down
nice.
The hill.
Very
so
nice.
So that's been great.
Yeah.
And we're just trying to make sure that they have access to these programming. So that's one. Two, we're working to implement the computer science standards.
Okay.
So
yeah. Excellent.
My goal.
It's a challenge, I would say.
It is.
Yeah.
But my vision is that eventually there's a school district in the state that's already doing this, and I want to do it too. All of our ninth graders will take AP computer science so that they will be able to demonstrate
Ooh.
And have that rigorous but authentic introduction to computer science in ninth grade. So it will give them all an opportunity to attempt that type of rigorous coursework,
yeah.
but it also gives them a great introduction to what this is. So that's my vision.
Yes.
We're not there yet.
No, but that's
but we're
awesome.
Going there.
I like that a lot.
I yeah. love that idea. When I heard that district was doing that, I was like, oh my gosh, how do they do that? I want to know how to do that. So one day, that's where I would like us to go. But in the meantime, we're building the implementation of our computer science standards coursework and getting the staffing and getting the rooms and the equipment so that we can start to implement that at the intermediate high school level. And then eventually, you know, hopefully my vision will
yeah
will manifest and we'll have that available to all of our students.
Yeah, I love that. And there's so much happening in the world of computer science and artificial
right.
intelligence. And
right.
UB is one of the leaders.
Yes, they are.
In AI.
Yeah.
So it's really smart to be thinking along those lines. And as we kind of wind things down, you know, I'm looking at that engaging parental and community involvement. You know, what does the vision look like for that? Has there already been some tweaks or modifications to enhance that already? And, you know, how are things going in that area?
So year one, we were like, well, what can we do? And we got a social media specialist through our BOCES, and she was really instrumental in getting our social media footprint on Facebook up and out. It was great. She helped us with doing some rebranding in terms of doing our Husky and updating our Husky and making him more
visible,
Husky.
And your BOCES has a unique, I don't want to call it a print shop, but they can do some amazing work in graphic arts, right?
Did you see that bridge when you were driving through and it said, "This is Husky Nation"? Yeah. That was helped by
Your BOCES.
Our BOCES. Nice. Yeah, they do amazing things. I go there with my vision and they're like, "Okay, we'll do it." And they are just incredible.
Yeah.
So, they were helpful with that.
So, that's a good start. And branding is so important now, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So, we're trying to make sure our Husky is everywhere. And people love the Husky. People love the colors. We're trying to meet our community in different ways. So when we have snow days, we have a snow day cartoon.
Okay, very nice.
Yes, yes. And it has me as a cartoon. It has the Husky barking as a cartoon. So we're trying to use multimedia, different ways of getting the... being fun about it. I mean, we're a school district. We don't have to be stodgy, right?
Right.
So that's one thing that we did year one, and we're trying to increase that footprint. And I'm still waiting for our website and our social media data as far as how we'll be able to increase it.
Sure.
But if you go back to our Facebook page 3 years ago, you'll see a tremendous difference in presentation. Every month we have a theme. Every week we highlight a different school. We have kids and all the great work we're doing every week highlighted. Anytime there's something important that we want to showcase at our school district, we have it on our social media and on our website.
Right.
So that's been a really important thing. We also have a newsletter. We have something called a superintendent's brief. So that's me. And in that brief, I also highlight all of our seniors.
Yeah.
So every month we'll have more seniors highlighted there because this is our last year. Yeah. We want to know about our great seniors and what they're going to do and as they move off and do amazing things to represent them being Huskies. And then this year, I started the Husky Huddle, which is my podcast. Yes. And that was just another way to try and reach our community and and it's been very well received.
Yeah.
It's very rudimentary, but I'm trying to make it be so that we can
I love that.
It.
And obviously, I'm a big fan of podcasting. I have this, and I do one for my district as well. And what I'm finding is that people are listening either in their cars as they drive around, or if they're taking a walk, you know, in the community or jogging, right? It's becoming part of a routine, I think, for families. And we're seeing a lot of engagement, you know, with the podcast. And it also allows you to tell a story a little bit longer than just, like you said, a superintendent brief or a photo, right? It really can expand the community's knowledge on what wonderful things are happening in Husky Nation.
That's right, in the Husky Nation. So, yeah, and you get to hear it directly from the person.
Yes.
So that's great,
is great. Well, those are really wonderful things. So as we wind things down, is there anything else you'd like to share before we sign off?
Well, I'm just so proud to be here in Olean. I love being here. This has been amazing, and I hope to do this for a very, 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 very long time.
Excellent.
And I'm very proud of the work that's being done by our students and our staff and our teachers, and I just really am very happy to be able to be here and be the leader of the Olean City School District.
Yeah, it really was a pleasure. This was an excellent podcast for all of our listeners who really are nerdy, like Janelle and I. Don't hesitate to reach out, right?
Like, oh, of course.
Right? And not only reach out maybe about strategic planning, but some of the other tools that you're using, the empowerment, the
belonging,
right? That whole piece and evaluative beings. What is the best way for somebody to reach out? Email?
Yeah, definitely email at gmorris@oleanschools.org.
Excellent. Good. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for tuning in this week. Don't forget that you can subscribe or follow Achieving Joy and Mastery in Public Schools on your favorite podcast platform. That's Apple, Spotify, Odyssey, and so many more. Once again, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for joining us today as we explore the concept of achieving joy and mastery in public schools. We will be interviewing school districts in Erie and Niagara counties on a regular basis as we look to shine a spotlight on all of the amazing programs and practices essential for achieving joy and mastery with our students, faculty, staff, and community. This podcast is sponsored by the Erie Niagara School Superintendents Association, and we hope you consider subscribing.